The following sermon was presented at the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Please follow the noble example of those in Acts 17:11 and search the scriptures to find out whether these teachings are true and accurate. If you have any questions or concerns, you can find our contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. And now to the sermon.
If you'll turn to John chapter 9. Class is back. We're studying chapter 9. We ran up on this verse, and I've been thinking about this verse ever since we ran across it. I know we had a lot to say as we looked at it, but I want to go back and look at it again. Verse 31, it says, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him." I was thinking about this verse, going back, and sometimes if you remember Johnny when he was here, one thing Johnny did a whole lot was definitions. He had many definitions in anything that he did. So I went back and I looked at these words. And I think maybe the key word is not here, but sinners. God does not hear sinners. Thayer defines this word as one devoted to sin. That is one that spends their whole life in sin. A person like that shouldn't expect God to hear anything. Now, something else that we have to keep in mind too is that God is not like us. And what I mean by that, God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." In other words, He knew what kind of man Jeremiah was going to be. He ordained him to be a prophet from the womb. He knew that Jeremiah would be the type of person that he needed. He knew that about him. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, remember Saul on the road to Damascus, saw the light, and he went into the city. And remember the Lord told Ananias to go to Saul. But Ananias kind of objected, didn't he? "I'm afraid of him," basically is what he said. "I've heard what this man has been doing." But then Jesus told him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine." And then He tells things that he would do. Why? Because He knew Paul's heart. He knew what type of man he was. We have to keep that in mind too. A couple of things that we've noticed as we've studied through the book of John. In John chapter 2. Look at verses 24 and 25. It says, "But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." We talked about there how he knows all about us. He knows what we've done. He can tell us everything that we thought today if he wanted to. He knows what type of people we are. As a matter of fact, in chapter 4, after Jesus had his conversation with the woman at the well, verse 29, when she goes back into the city and she's talking to the men, says, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" If we could sit down with him, he could tell us things that we have forgotten about ourselves. We have to keep that in mind because he knows all. He sees all. Now, when we get back to our verse, one that's devoted to sin shouldn't expect God to hear his prayer. Now, something else about this word here, Thayer also defines this word to consider. Well, God is all-knowing. He knows our hearts. There's a difference between someone that's devoted to sin and just on the fly will offer a prayer when something bad's going on in their life. And then someone that's sincere from the heart. Something we can learn from the prayer of Cornelius. Remember when the angel appeared to Cornelius? It says, "Your prayer's been heard." Well, when we read that, we can understand a little bit about what he was praying for. Because he was told to send to Joppa for Peter. And Peter would come and tell him words of which he could be saved. So he had to be praying something about salvation. I think it gets down to what we're praying for too. God knows our heart. But you know, we can kick all of this around and we can go back and forth. But one sure way to know that God hears our prayers is to obey the gospel and stay faithful. We have that assurance. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence. Some translations may have the word assurance. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. The we and us, who's that? As Christians. We have that assurance. We have that confidence. That man that's devoted to sin, he doesn't have that assurance. He doesn't have that blessing from God. So if we want to make sure that our prayers are heard, we need to remain faithful. We need to obey the gospel. We need to remain faithful. Well, let's talk about the plan for a minute. We know the plan. We've heard it over and over again. What must I do to be saved? Some people would say, you're already saved. And some people would say, faith only. We've run across all kinds of people in this world tell us different things. But what does God's Word say? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we know that the gospel demands obedience. And when we hear the gospel, it's going to produce either faith or unbelief. But if you believe it, shouldn't you act upon it? Why put it off? People have done that. This is a true story. I was told of a gospel meeting that took place in California. I don't know the man, nothing about the congregation. He came forward. He stopped at the point of baptism because he wanted his family to be there when he was baptized into Christ. And they tried to encourage him to go ahead and fully obey the gospel. But he wouldn't do it. His parents were going to be there on Friday night, so he wanted to wait till Friday night. He goes home, he gets out of his car, and as he's walking into his house, a car drives by, and he's shot dead. We're never promised the next minute. We're never promised the next breath. So, if you believe, and you have that obedient type faith, you should act upon it. Will your faith lead you to repent of your sins? Luke 13, 3 and 5. Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. Will you be willing to confess Christ before men as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verse 37? Would you be willing to be baptized and have your sins washed away? Acts 22:16, so that you would be saved. Mark 16:16, and 1 Peter 3:21. And so that you would be in Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27, I believe it is. It says that we're baptized into Christ. That way, we have that full assurance that He hears and answers our prayers. We can debate this other thing over and over and over, but we don't want to be devoted to sin and hope that God hears our prayers. This way, we know for sure that devoted to sin shouldn't apply to none of us. We know the truth. In Romans chapter 6, Paul told them that they had died to sin, that it shouldn't reign or rule over you. You've died to that. It's in the past. We want to be a people that we're pleasing to God. We know God hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. But we know it's according to His will. There may be those here tonight that have obeyed the gospel, but you haven't lived a faithful life. Well, what does God's word tell us there? From Acts chapter 8, we know that Simon obeyed the gospel, and then he sinned by trying to buy the gift of God with money, and Peter told him to repent and pray to God that he would forgive him. We know from 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from those sins. So if we can assist you tonight by baptizing you in Christ, or praying with you, or for you, come to the front and have a seat as we stand and sing.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.